Welcome to the Three Creeks Church podcast. We are a church in Gahanna, Ohio, and our vision is to help people find and follow God. And this podcast is one way we do that. We are in a series called Finding Joy, and we're going through the book of Philippians. In this letter, Paul shares the secret to true contentment and deep joy in the middle of the crazy world we're living in. We hope that through this series, you'll find the only place where true, lasting joy can be found.
Hello and welcome. My name is Joel Trainer, and I get to be the pastor here at Three Creeks. And whether you are watching this video or you are listening to the podcast, we just want to say welcome. We hope that this is impactful and encouraging in your life. We are in week 12 of 12 in our series that we're calling Finding Joy. We've made our way through almost the entire book of Philippians, and we are ending it today. We're going to finish the last part of chapter 4. A few months ago, I was talking with my wife, Morgan, and she asked me, you know, what are we going to study next in church? And I said, I think we're going to do Philippians. And she said, Joel, what does our church need to know about gynecology? And I said, Morgan, I didn't say Philippians, I said Philippians. And Morgan actually didn't say that. But I could not do a series on Philippians without making that pathetic joke. So I hope it, maybe there was a chuckle here and there, but if not, who cares? I can't see you anyways. Here we are, the end of chapter 4, Philippians 4. And guess what we get to talk about today? We get to talk about money. And what an incredibly timely message. While everything is as uncertain as it has ever been, we're going to talk about money. I actually told one of my pastor friends this week, I said, guess what I get to preach about this weekend? And he said, what? I said, money. And he said, you're kidding, right? And I said, no, I said, I have to, because that's what it says. This is what the end of chapter 4 is about. And we've said from the beginning that we just kind of go through books of the Bible, and when it says it, we talk about it, and we don't skip over the stuff that we don't like, and that's what we do. So I can't skip it. While all of our jobs and our 401ks and our retirement accounts are as wobbly and uncertain as they've ever been, we get to talk about money. I've never felt like more of a televangelist in my life. You are probably nervous right now that I'm going to start selling immunity handkerchiefs or healing vials of water, but I will not do that. I'm generally a little hesitant to talk about money, and I just don't want to come across as greedy. I'm probably guilty of not talking about money enough. I certainly talk about it less than Jesus did. In 29 parables that Jesus told, 16 of them or about money. It was clearly a big deal to him. And so I'm going to talk about it today, but I want today's message to be your favorite and most clear message that you have ever heard on the topic of money. I want you to just, I want this to be so clear. I want it to be the most clear message you've ever heard on the topic of money. I want to take a minute. I want to read through the 10 verses at the end of chapter 4 of Philippians, and then we're going to go back through. I'm going to show you a few things about Paul, about generosity, about the Philippian church, and most importantly, about the goodness and the generosity of God. And so open your Bibles, go to Philippians chapter 4. If you have ever complained at Three Creeks Church about not being able to see your Bibles, then do yourself a favor and go turn up the lights in your own house. You can finally see your Bibles. What a blessing. If you don't have a Bible, if you do not own a Bible, if you're sitting there and you go, I don't have one, we want to mail one to you. We would love for you to shoot us an email at info@threecreekschurch.com. We will send you a Bible today, and so you will have it for sure by next weekend. We love it when people are in their Bibles. So Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to read all the way through these 10 verses. I'm going to start in verse 10. Remember, this is Paul writing a letter from prison to the Philippians in Philippi. This is what he says. He goes, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you really had no opportunity to show it. And I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all of this through Him who gives me strength. Yet, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. And it's not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I am amply supplied. I have received full payment. I have more than enough. I'm amply supplied. Now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. Do you remember how this whole partnership got started between Paul and the Philippians? Remember, in 50 AD, Paul and his buddies, they travel to Philippi and they start a church. There were no Christians there. They start a church. They have a church plant. And when they're able to identify leaders, they move on and they plant more churches all around that area of the world. Well, in 60 AD, 10 years later, Paul is quarantined in Rome. He's in Italy under house arrest. People could come and visit him and go, but he can't leave. He is in prison. And a man from the church in Philippi travels 500 miles. His name's Epaphroditus. Travels 500 miles. It probably takes him 3 months. He almost dies of disease along the way, but he comes to tell Paul how the Philippians are doing. And apparently the church in Philippi, before they left, they took up an offering. And Epaphroditus has this gift, this wad of cash that he comes and delivers to Paul to support Paul in his ministry and what he's doing. Look what it says. Paul writes, I've received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. And this is not the first time that the Philippians have supported Paul. Because look, if you look back at verse 15, he says, or excuse me, 16, for even when I was in Thessalonica, another city, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. As I study this, I've read this passage before, and it's a great, you know, passage about generosity in the Philippians. But as I studied it, I learned some new things. I actually learned that there's another letter that Paul wrote that he talks about the Philippians. And I want to share that with you today. This is something brand new to me. And if it's new to you, I think that you'll think that it's pretty fascinating. Flip back in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. The Corinthians, they lived in a city called Corinth. This is another church that Paul planted, another church that Paul wrote letters to, and he writes to them about giving, and he talks about the Philippians. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I want to show you something that I found to be very, very insightful. Verse 1, I'm just going to read 4 verses. He writes this, and now, brothers and sisters, remember he's talking to the Corinthians, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify, look at this, that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. Paul's talking about Macedonian churches. Do you know where Philippi is? It's in Macedonia. The Corinthians are in a province called Achaia, and Philippi is up to the north in Macedonia. So when Paul writes to the Corinthians, he's going, listen, they have experienced severe trial. They have experienced extreme poverty, but their overflowing joy has welled up into rich generosity. They gave all that they were able, and they gave even more beyond their ability. And look, they urgently plead for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. I show you this passage to illuminate the joyful generosity of the Philippians church. Y'all, listen, Corinth was in the province of Achaia. It's on the coast, and it's full of rich people. The Philippians are inland. They're to the north. They're in Macedonia, and they are experiencing extreme poverty. And I say that to tell you that you don't have to be rich to be generous. The poor Philippians are the example to the rich Corinthians. Let me ask you to flip back over now to Philippians. Go back to chapter 4. I want to tell you three truths about financial generosity that Paul writes to the Philippians about. Remember the first verses 10 through 13, he's saying, listen, I don't need your money. I'm content. I've learned the secret of contentment. I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. And he goes, I don't need your money. And then verse 14, it says this. Paul writes, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. The first truth I want to bring up is that it is good to give to God's work. It is good to give to God's work. God loves it. It blesses him. It blesses the ministry and the work of God, whatever you're giving to. And in turn, it actually blesses you. Psalm 112:5 says, good will come to those who are generous and who lend freely. And that's not meaning that money's going to come back to you if you're generous. That's called the prosperity gospel. It's not true. And what I would say to you is that don't limit the goodness and the favor that God gives to just money, because he's better and bigger and more favorable than just that. And when we give, look at how Paul describes how God receives our gifts when we give to God's work. In verse 18, he goes, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how can I get some essential oils and make a fragrant offering to God? That's not what Paul's saying. What Paul's saying is, let me put it this way. Have you been out and about in the last couple of days? Have you taken a walk around the neighborhood? Have you gone on a run? I have, and I have seen 1,000 other people who have been out and about more than ever. It's funny, in our normal lives, we sit around in our houses on our phones. We get quarantined and everybody's out. Maybe we should get quarantined a little bit more often, but I've been on walks in my neighborhood, and a few times, even this week, I'm walking and I go, and I try to detect the direction of the wind, because I go, who's grilling? Who's grilling it? And I begin to salivate. It smells good. It is a fragrant offering to my nostrils. And I go, when can we open up the grill at the Trainer home? Because, man, that smells good. And you guys, that kind of is what Paul's talking about. Because in this day and age, 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, if you were to go into Jerusalem, the way that people who loved God would show their commitment and their sacrifice and their love and their generosity to God is they would offer animal sacrifices. So you'd go into Jerusalem and it would just smell like a giant barbecue with smokestacks going up everywhere, where people are offering their acts of worship, their act of commitment to God by offering these sacrifices. And that's what Paul's referring to when he says that this is a fragrant offering to God. Well, obviously, we don't do that anymore. We don't offer animal sacrifices to show God that we love him. But when we give to God's work, when we give financially to God's work, it is a good thing. It is an act of worship. It is an act of commitment. And it's a fragrant offering to the Lord. It is a good thing to give to God's work. And not only is it good, but it is wise. It is so wise. Look at verse 17. He goes, listen, not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. The only money we will keep forever is the money we have given away. The only money that we will keep forever is the money that we have given away. It is credited to your account. Not sure if you paid attention in college finance class. That means that it is added unto you. That it's given unto you. In the eyes of God, it is credited to your account. We want to be a church, Three Creeks Church. We want to be a church that gives so much money away. We want to give so that more would be credited to our account. A few months ago, on Christmas Eve Eve, we rolled out this project called Project Saba, and we gave you a chance to give. And I just need to apologize on the front end that I have held on to this news for months, and I'm going to reveal right now why I did that. But Project Saba was, we've got these missionaries in Burkina Faso who they're attempting to start a Christian school in an area of Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso, where there are a lot of families with either disabled children or disabled parents. They've been banned from other schools. And so this group, this church group, is trying to start a Christian school that will be accessible to all of these kids with disabilities. And we said to you, Three Creeks, hey, if we can raise $14,000, we will be able to furnish all their classrooms with desks and chairs and benches. And not only that, but we will be able to buy the land that is adjacent to the building that they currently have so that their school can expand. And we'll be able to build a protective wall around the entire facility. And this school will be able to open up this fall 2020 in Ouagadougou for these kids. We kind of presented that to you, Three Creeks. We said, hey, can we be a part of something that is so far beyond us? Can we give to God's work? And John and Betty Arnold, our missionaries, they were actually going to come to Three Creeks in a few weeks. And obviously that has had to be postponed. And so I couldn't hold on to this news any longer. And so I just had to tell you kind of what happened. So I called John and Betty this week. They don't know this either. I've kept this news from them too. My apologies once again. But I called them and they thought that I was just calling to postpone their visit to Three Creeks. But I had something else for them. Because of your generosity, Three Creeks Church, 3 or 4 months ago, this is what I got to tell them. Check this out. Isn't that amazing? Man, I mean, God did that through you and through your generosity, and you may not ever get to see that with your own eyes, but it has been credited to our account. If you gave to that, it has been credited to your account in the eyes of God. Now, I got to be honest, it seems like a funny time for me to be writing a $14,000 check. It just does. I mean, our attitude towards money, let's just be honest, it has been a little bit like our attitude towards toilet paper, right? Like if we've got an abundance, we're lending here and there, but if we're a little uncertain about how much we have and if it will be enough, we are guarding it like bars of gold. Even as a church, it just felt like a funny time to write a $14,000 check. But the only money we will keep forever is the money that we've given away. The only money we keep forever is the money we've given away. That's true virus or not. That's true job or not. That's true stock market up or down. It's true. And listen to me. We understand that right now in our church and in our city, there are some folks whose backs are against the wall. That financially, things are tight. Things are hard. Jobs have been lost. Many of us have been furloughed. And I get it. I've heard the stories. I know a lot of them personally, and I get it. And I want you to hear me. We want Three Creeks Church to be the conduit through which you can generously bless somebody's life today. We want Three Creeks Church to be a place that you can do that. I have received calls and texts and emails over the last few weeks of people who have a little bit extra, who want somebody to give it to, who they want to be generous. And to you, if you have done that, I commend you. It is a fragrant offering to the Lord, just your attitude to want to do that. Here's what I'm telling you. Right now, we want Three Creeks Church to be a conduit through which you can bless somebody's life today. We literally want to siphon off your money. And at first, when this whole thing hit, I was like, man, maybe we should create a special account so that people know that they can give to our church and we're just going to give it away. And then I thought to myself, man, I want you to know that Three Creeks always wants to be like this. We always want to be a generous church. We always want to give money away. So there's no special account because there's this virus is around. We want to always be generously blessing people. Because listen, in the last few months before this all hit, we have been able to give thousands of dollars to the EL teachers at Goshen Lane and help them in what they do for their students, that partnership we have there. There are three different families in Gahanna with multiple children that were sleeping on the floor in different bedrooms, and we heard about it. And so Three Creeks, we were able to buy bunk beds and mattresses and furnish their bedrooms so those kids have a great, safe room to go to. We bought a car for somebody in our church. We've supported Ohio State Campus Crusade mission trips. We've paid for car repairs. We've paid for hospital bills. We've paid for hotel rooms. We've bought Christmas presents for a bunch of kids. We have provided countless meals for people who needed a meal. And we have given away thousands of dollars. And listen to me, we want to give away more. We want to be more generous. I feel weird even saying all that because it seems like I'm bragging. What I'm doing is I'm trying to just show you that as a church, we want to live like all of this begins, or all of this belongs to God to begin with. And we want to be a generous church. We want to give away things. We want to be Three Creeks. We want to be like this church in Philippians that supports people, that supports missionaries, that helps people. We want to give beyond what we are even able to do. The only money that we keep forever is the money we've given away. You see, when Paul wrote that to the Corinthians earlier, remember when he was like, hey, the Macedonians, they've experienced extreme poverty, and yet they still gave above and beyond. They pleaded with us to share in what God was doing. Not only did he tell them what the Philippians did, but he told them what happens when they do. If you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, real quick, turn there quickly. Skip down a few verses to verse 13. I want to show you what happens when people in the church give. Look at this. This is cool. I didn't even know that these passages matched each other like this, but I just think it's amazing. Verse 13, he writes to the Corinthians, listen, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Some have plenty, some have need. The way that the church is supposed to work is that there is equality. And so Three Creeks, I need you here in two ways. Here's how I need you. If you have too much right now, give. If you have plenty, if you texted me, if you've got a little bit extra, give. We want to be a conduit for you. We want to siphon off your money to somebody who is in need. And so I'm asking you to give. And number two, if you know someone or you are someone who is in need, if you have too little, we need you to tell us. We need you to tell us. We are eager to serve. We are eager to bless somebody. I'm pleading with you for the privilege of sharing with somebody. And so if you know somebody in need, if you know somebody who's lost a job or they have been furloughed, if you know somebody who needs a meal or needs a place to stay or whatever, if they're in our church or out of our church, we want to help. Will you advocate for them? If you do know somebody who is in need, will you text Three Creeks Help to 97,000? It's one word, Three Creeks Help to 97,000. We have a team. They're going to receive these forms that you fill out, and we are going to try to bless as many people as we can. Y'all, the goal is equality. And if you've got too much, give. And if you've got too little, tell us about it so that we can serve one another. And I hope that over the next few weeks and months, I can tell tons of stories about how we were like the Philippian churches, where we were able to just share generously with one another, and the church was the conduit through which it happened. I really need your help to make that happen, though. Like, if nobody advocates for anybody, we're gonna have nobody to give it to. And if you have too much and you hoard it, we're not going to have enough to give. So I'm asking you to participate in this so that we can be like the Philippians church. Can I just share one final truth with you? One last nugget from the book of Philippians. After Paul talks about their generosity, that even in their poverty, that they gave above and beyond what they could. I want you to see how God responds to this. Look what Paul writes in verse 19 of chapter 4 in Philippians. He writes, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." God will meet all your needs. He will. He will. For some of us, finances are tight right now. I want you to know that God will meet all your needs. For some of us, retirement looks shaky right now because of what has happened recently. We avoid looking at our bank accounts. We just don't even want to know. I'm just telling you, God will provide for you. God will provide. He will meet all of your needs. Some of us have exhausted every craft idea that we have with our children. We've watched Frozen 2 to the point where our kids are actually bored of it. And they look at us and they go, "I want to do something fun." God will meet all your needs. I'm joking in some ways, but it's true that he's a generous God who will meet all of our needs. He has already, hasn't he? I mean, think about it for a minute. I was flat broke spiritually. I was flat broke spiritually, and he met all my needs and made me rich in Christ Jesus. I was broken and hopeless and stuck in my sin and completely empty. And he met all of my needs in Christ Jesus and offered me eternal life with him. And if what I'm saying right now doesn't make a lot of sense, if you're going, "What is this guy talking about? What does it even mean to be rich in Christ Jesus?" Let me just be very clear that when we are born spiritually bankrupt, with no hope and no future and no joy, frankly. But through belief in Christ and what Jesus Christ did for us, which, by the way, we are going to talk about a lot in the next 2 weeks. Because of what Christ has done for us, if we put our faith in him, we are spiritually rich, so rich. We are given hope and a future. We're going to be in heaven forever with Christ. This is what is at hand. This is what is offered to us. This is God meeting all of our needs. And if you want to know more about what I just shared, I'm just asking you, in the description below, there's a link that you can click that just says connect with somebody on our staff. We would love to tell you more about the richness that is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, there's something sweet about being in a desperate situation, because it's when God can prove how generous he is. And I know that none of us would have chosen this current situation. None of us would have chosen it. But I believe that if you lean into the reality that God will meet all your needs and you pray and you ask him, I believe that we will look back on this season of life in 3 or 4 or 5 years and go, man, I miss that. I miss that because I really needed God and he provided for me. He was so real to me. Like, I was backed up in the corner and God met all of my needs. I think there's something sweet about needing God because it gives him a chance to really meet all of our needs. Well, there's Philippians. It's an awesome book. We called our series Finding Joy, and I hope by studying it you found some. I hope that you discovered that joy is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I hope that you loved going through this with us. I loved it. I love you, Three Creeks. Live generously. It's the best way to live your life. And we'll see you soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. To find out more about Three Creeks Church, attend a Sunday morning service, or give financially to our church, go to threecreekschurch.com.